Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April the 18th, 109th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, already holding his head in his hand, Humboldt County Supervisor for 7 months, Jimmy Smith.
Eight.
Well, I figured this month was already shot for you. We're more than 2 days into it, huh?
Yeah.
This afternoon, we got a couple of different things to talk about that could be causing him to hold his head in his hand. First is the Greater Eureka Municipal Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. That's way too long to have an acronym. MAC.
Select Committee.
G is selected.
The Select Committee. That's what I've.
Oh, that doesn't.
It would be a group of very talented, interested people in the South Eureka First District.
Oh, good. So we'll see if we can find five or six of those people. And also we'll talk mm-hmm. about the Fish and Game Commission, their mm-hmm. meetings last week, what they didn't lose. Mm-hmm. We'll find it out when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith, who thinks he's got one up on me, but we'll wait and see. But before we do, our quote this afternoon is actually another one of our proverbs. Okay. You want a Yiddish proverb or an English proverb?
Oh, I think English would be good.
Okay. Well, it wouldn't have been done in Yiddish. It would have been done in English. However, curiosity killed the cat. The one you didn't choose is you can't dance at two weddings at the same time. One's appropriate for the show, and one is the one that you chose. So we'll go with that one.
Well, our cat's doing fine.
Oh, okay. Good. Glad to know. And apparently not particularly curious.
No.
However, I am.
Yes,
and ergo, the base of this program. What is your expectation of the planning in the building department now being refocused, split, running parallel? I don't know what the right terminology is, but the changes might be the best way.
This is my precursor, as you know. I only represent my 20% of thoughts and what would happen with community development services and what would happen with
the others chose not to show up this afternoon. So
you notice
you're the only guy here.
I do.
Okay.
I see it's you and me and Aaron, who is always there with a smile and watching us carefully, keeping us within the time constraints.
And a gun.
Yeah.
He's not showing you his gun.
I know.
It's loaded with water that will just absolutely drown you.
I'm glad he's here.
Even a fisherman, it'll still drown you.
So, I see with the, I guess what I would envision is that we need to take a strong look at our organization. And we've been doing that with all the departments. And trying to make sure that we're within our budget constraints on an annual basis has not been easy. So you've seen consolidation in the CAO's office. You saw it even with the minimal staff that we've had with the clerk of the board and our staff.
Now that's been talked about and been done over, a 15, 20-year evolution. But a lot of it initially was functional, so that Jimmy Smith would come in and he had two or three things he had to deal with. He could then take care of it at one meeting, one appointment, one location, back before the financial stuff started happening. That certainly is added on top of the momentum for the consolidation efforts. when that was happening, though, was the loss, or was the focus rather lost, that it still needed to be customer serving, it still needed to be public easy, it still needed to be something that paid attention to people's time and investment of their resources? Or was it from the other side of the counter, we got to save money, we got to squeeze these two departments together, we got to meld these things, and things like restricted public hours pop up, restricted days pop up, more paperwork pops up, all these things are counter, well, wait, wrong word, opposite from what the other goals were. Which one took precedent?
Well, I guess all of those are included. I mean, part of what it is every department's taken a certain share of cuts. And it's about, and I'm only going to speak to my, you know, my concerns based with, based on the comments from my constituents and practical projects that I've worked on throughout my district and some countywide. You want to have, if we're going to talk specifically about that department,
or in any other one.
Yeah, all the departments have gone through some really difficult times, and I guess I need to preface this by, that's why the board's doing this year something altogether different. We're asking, so there's some clarity with, and we have some, you know, Ryan's in his second year, and so is Virginia. These departments are doing a lot of things. They have a lot of tasks in front of them. For example, a public defender, alternate counsel last week, and we look at what's happening with county council's positions and what their workload is. So this is an opportunity for those different departments to come in and tell the board and the CAO's office exactly what's happening. And you can look at, and I'll use the public defender as the example here. One, he's got a tremendous caseload, as does a district attorney. They've got sort of a failing facility, which they could describe, and they did in great detail, and we knew that, but it's a chance for them
to
tell us. No, the public defender's office.
Oh, okay.
We've got structural problems literally throughout a lot of the county buildings. So it's a chance to talk about the caseload. Kevin Robinson provided a nice description of what was happening with his cases, a felony versus misdemeanor. It gives us a snapshot of what's happening in the court system so that we have a commissioner that oversees some of the misdemeanor cases, and he can adjudicate some of those right up front so that they don't go through the entire process.
Yeah, that's the one that Joyce Hendricks was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And It's an educational piece for all of us. It gives us more interaction with those department heads and gives us a sense of what they're up against and what the increases in workload have been. And we haven't been able to compensate with more staff. We're constantly, you know, there's a lot of good public oversight, and people say, well, you know, you have an awful lot of attorneys. Well, we do have a lot of attorneys, but the Constitution, which Dan and I were just talking about here a little while ago, dictates those policies, and we follow them. We have to provide for the defense of people who need that, so we have public defenders and we have a counsel provided. And
do we have, Jimmy, as many, if you took Humboldt County, and I understand we are unique in many ways, and took one of those other counties that are similar in population base that you guys use, there's what, five or six of them? That are all kind of in the same general size, and looked at the amount of bodies, number of cases in this example, number of permits in the building department, number of whatever that thing is that they do, and compared us against those other similar size, similar population counties, how do we stack up? Are we similar? Are we in the are we the mean? Are we at one end or the other? How does Humboldt County look compared to comparable counties in the state of California?
Well, I wish I had the answer to that, and I don't actually in a comparison for the public defender's activities and the amount of attorneys they have, or in the case of the district attorney. And I know he could answer that. We asked him some questions about, you know, your caseloads, and they are pretty tremendous, and he could use more attorneys. And part of the problem is that when we supplement budgets, a lot of it are specially designated. They're maybe they can prosecute a certain activity. Maybe it's a drug enforcement crime, or maybe it's something that has to do with child welfare, or whatever it might be. And that's pretty specific. And when the money ends, so does that position if we don't find some way to backfill it. And unfortunately, in recent times, we've not been able to backfill some of those positions. And that's across a map, whether it's a special law enforcement one or whether it's a special airport or public works or in the public defender's office, whatever it might be.
KINS, News and Information Times, 426. We'll be back with more from Jimmy Smith.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 428. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith. Jimmy, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the understaffing, I guess would be a simple term to use. But you were talking about the grants that develop, or some of the categorical mm-hmm. funding or strings that attached, or whatever phrase you like to use, about certain things that allow additional staff for a period of time. And then when they go bye-bye, then the county has to make the call. I know that's one of the questions people have going into these is, well, if you do this, when the funding does run out,
yeah.
are you willing to see the position disappear? Normally, it's not a yes-no answer. It's, well, we'll try to find some money to keep that project going. Sounds like we're dealing with reality sets now of when the funding's gone, the position is gone. When you see that, whether it's in the public defender's office or the DA's office or anybody's office, certainly there becomes the reliance on that position being there.
Mm-hmm.
Do they kind of forget that it's probably going to go away and make accommodations so that when it does, it's a smooth transition back to what should be perceived as norm?
Sometimes, yeah, but I guess the incredible part of this is that the caseload never seems to go down for any of those departments. So they may lose a position that was grant funded, and maybe it came on, usually it's multiple year, so you can budget for it to a certain degree, and there may be some a matching amount or comparative amount that goes from the general fund to support it. But the hope always is that the economy will turn around and we'll be able to backfill it on a permanent basis if the workload's there, that it's not an extra thing that they've taken on because there's a need at a national level to address it or a statewide level.
KINS, News and Information Times, 431. We'll be back with more from Jimmy Smith.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith. Jimmy, the desire from the supervisors not only to know what's going on within the organization, which I think is laudable, I think a lot of people go, what do you mean they don't know? Well, in my little old neck of the woods, I know how volatile things are. I can't imagine having, 20 or 25 different departments underneath trying to maintain that and do your guys' regular job. So I think it makes sense that you wouldn't know that much, so the detail. But when you're looking at your district, we can still call it your district, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Your district.
Very possessive of it.
Apparently so. Your district, there are unique needs in that area.
Yes.
There are also unique characters in your area of influence. Is that something that you've been able to tap into in the last 8 years? Is it something that you think you can set the foundations for those who are running to backfill behind you to set something in place so that maybe the communication's a little bit better? Maybe somebody doesn't have to get that phone call Sunday afternoon and go out and do something. They actually get time off. Can't not restructure the job necessarily, because I don't think you can do that, but to make it more effective and more efficient.
Yeah, I do, and I intend to work on that with whoever, you know, fills my seat here in the next couple months. Part of that will be the relationship with the departments that you talked about. You know, their level of involvement with the communities, how well they know them. Part of that is what they've taught me, of course, and Public Works is really a great example of that. How we integrate, we need to park our equipment out on somebody's ranch so that we're working on a road, we don't have to run it back and forth. Introductions to those folks so that those relationships are solid. And then the community members themselves, you know, King Salmon, when I was first elected a few years back, they were absolutely fed up with the problems related to abandoned vehicles and methamphetamine, heroin. We had problems everywhere. So we had a couple hundred people at a community meeting, and they made no bones about providing direction to me what they wanted to do and how they wanted it done.
Rather than a blow them up, shoot them attitude, is there a way perhaps to make it a smoother conduit of information, an easier way, a working together rather than getting so fed up that the emotions come into play, rather than picking things off one at a time and kind of a coordinated effort?
Yeah, and I, you know, I think your reference is how do we engage people more, and that's logically what I think Supervisor Sundberg and myself, we've been working with our staff on some community advisory groups, and the board weighed in on that that option a few months back, and it's about...
You need to have formal authorization to...
Yeah, yeah.
To
we did.
Put a group together?
Well, it's sort of a plan that could be or could not be, maybe. It's voluntary. What do we want to do to see it? And there were some, because you've got some areas that are focused for growth, and McKinleyville, of course, fastest growing, a lot of things have occurred in the Cotton, South Eureka area that have influenced lives and lifestyles for quite some time. What we want to do is accommodate people and let them know that what they say counts, and put it in a wider spectrum rather than me running around, which I would continue to do and I enjoy doing, listening to everyone individually. we would create a group that would be an advisory group to the board and to the Planning Commission that would review things like general plan amendments. And there were a couple of them in the Cotton area that directly affect people in Eureka, Cotton, say Elk River, Westgate, Lunbar Hills, as far away as Humboldt Hill. So those traffic patterns are going to be impacted by development.
I think that would be an easier way and perhaps a less volatile way. Not because it's formalized, but if you get, I don't know what your magic number is, if it's 9, 10, 15, whatever the number is.
Uh-huh.
I come up ranting and raving about my issue, and I'm on this board.
Mm-hmm.
But then I hear about, oh, but over here, something else is going on, and over there something else is going on.
Yeah.
And mine is an inconvenience, and theirs is threatening something. Giving perspective?
There is, and there's some guidance language in this document that we're going to be bringing forward that talks about what things we'd really like to hear about. But in my opinion, the smaller issues that might be neighborhood-oriented, that's still a possibility for discussion to have it come in a formal setting back to the board or to the commission, but it should never, ever circumvent the opportunity to approach your supervisor and say, I've got an individual problem I need.
It's more of an adjunct committee.
Yes.
To you, or I guess if it was a bigger community or you were better paid, no. Paid more, that this could be a staff.
And there will be
kind of the substitution of you having a staff as a supervisor.
Yeah.
This kind of serves that same role.
Yeah.
In a volunteer situation rather than a paid staff position.
And in a larger county, say my colleagues, the ones I work with in a regional sense here, from Sonoma County, they have a couple staff people for each supervisor, and they of course serve a larger population, but they're able to put those meetings together in those different communities and collect the input, and
it's accomplish the same thing that you're looking for with this group.
Yeah, but this way, this group, I think the people that live in those locations, they know them. A lot of them have lived there for a long time, and their community is absolutely so important to them. Schools, families, their methods of transportation, and on and on. But this will give people an opportunity to really take a look at whatever that development-oriented issue might be and get it back to us with their opinions, and we can fold that in addition to their comments back to their individual supervisors or community development services. Or
in whatever. A weird way, maybe this makes government quicker to act?
It'll be more comprehensive, I think.
Because the gathering is done before the information is presented, so maybe you don't have to have as many workshops. Because this group is kind of serving as an ongoing weekly, monthly workshop.
It should really help with that, yeah.
Too bad you're finally getting efficient now that you're going out the door.
Jeez.
I know. Timing's really weak on this one, man. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:33. We'll be back with more from Jimmy Smith.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith. Jimmy, whenever there's change, you're apt to run into people pushing back, whining, why not me? How come? That's your job. I'm sure I've already hit the top three or four on your list. what has the response been to this concept?
The folks that are helping Ryan and I with this have been really good. One in particular, Michael Richardson, is doing an excellent job. But there's input coming from other areas that say, well, we should We should define this really closely and try to remain within the original intent of the language in Eureka Community Plan. And what I'm saying is, based on my experience, reach out, make it wider, make sure that you've covered the scope of the areas that are going to feel...
Why not make it available for this entity to deal with and gather information on anything associated with the county? From people living in that district. Why would you want to narrow it and focus it?
Well, part of it, I mean, you could go, there were some suggestions about going into some of the fringe areas that are not going to see, just because of the present-day zoning, you're not going to see a lot of development, and you're not going to see changes probably in road patterns because it is rural.
But let's say somebody wants to talk about health and human services.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say somebody wants to talk about the parks, things that aren't necessarily focused on these two areas. Why would you not want to have this group be able to gather information on those areas? Maybe not today. Maybe that's not the burning issue today.
Yeah.
But maybe in 18 months, those pop up. Why not allow this group to be flexible enough to move to where the community wants it to move instead of stranglehold it?
Well, I think that's a good point. And, we created a little bit more, changed a couple of things, or I've offered a couple changes that do that. Even though the pathway is defined on what issues would be included in their scope of work in the advisory capacity, it also leaves other things, in my opinion, that they could discuss, and it could be some of those that you have talked about. Maybe it's some sort of emergency planning, or there's a whole range of things.
It gives you troops out in the field to be
able to have
people share their ideas and concerns with.
And that could be in addition to the core focus
of course.
Areas. But yeah, I'm in agreement, and I think the a wider area, because we're talking about the area that would be affected by.
Are the other supervisors in the second, third, and fourth districts interested in doing something similar?
They may be, but at this time, the two that the board chose to focus on are McKinleyville and Eureka Community Planning areas.
So this is more of a board directive,
yeah,
rather than this you and Ryan saying, hey, yeah, we got an idea.
Well, Ryan and I really did want to do this. This is important to our constituents. It's been apparent to me, and I shouldn't speak for him, but I know I did work with him in McKinleyville and understand the concerns. We've been through a lot of projects together, and we want to do that. We want to have a formal group of people that can deal with issues of great importance to those specific communities.
Thanks for coming by. I'm still impressed that you're getting more efficient. That's wonderful. We've been Talking Shop with Jimmy Smith. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and see you tomorrow.
See you.